Looking for a guiding hand in your Amazon business? Wizards of Ecom Academy is here for you. Our personalized support system includes unlimited email access to myself and my entire team to help you overcome challenges and strategize effectively. Sign up for an exclusive rate at wizardsofecom.com/academy. Your personal e-commerce coach awaits.
Welcome to the Wizards of Ecom, your no-fluff playbook for online success. Each episode is fully packed with actionable tactics you can implement in your business right now. Take your life to a higher level and excel in your online success. It's time to work on you and your business. Let's do this.
Welcome back to the Wizards of Ecom podcast. This is episode 130. My name is Carlos Alvarez, and I'll be your host for the show. On today's episode, we have an amazing guest, the owner and co-founder of AdAdvance, Joe Chelarude. Joe, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Carlos. Super excited to go through this.
Absolutely. Like I said off air before we started, a huge thank you for your patience in this between the bronchitis thing that some of the listeners on this show dealt with to last second reschedule yesterday. We were going to record this yesterday. You've been a champ through all of this, so I really appreciate it.
No problem at all. I know how it goes.
Really. So we first met via LinkedIn. You posted something on LinkedIn that was like really caught my eye, which is pretty hard to do on LinkedIn, I feel like, nowadays, because there's a lot there. Sure. And it had to do with DSP. Reached out to you. You were quick at responding. And I asked you to present to the my Amazon seller community, which you did. That show's still being referenced to this day. Anytime something DSP comes up, it's almost like, what would Joe do? Right? So like that, in our Telegram chats and everything. So it really was a great presentation. I had an audio and video issue that day, if I remember correctly.
Yep. I think you had a storm come through.
Yes. So we've also crossed paths. I feel it at least two conferences. Prosper was one. And what was the other one? Was it ASGTG?
Yep. And by the way, I'm usually not used to looking up at people. So I'm 6'3". And so one of the few instances where I had to say, man, you're a lot taller in person.
You know, I was going to say the same thing. Like I met so many people over Zoom during the pandemic that I never met in person.
Yeah.
And then when you meet them, it can go any direction, literally. So, but you're a really big guy. So yeah, I was a little taken aback by that. Yeah. But it was awesome. Yeah. So we were both impressed the same way. I invited you on the show today, this episode specifically, not to really to get into like all the cool places we've met, as fun as that would be. Yep. But to discuss Amazon DSP, which you're an expert at, specifically what it is and who should be using it. Maybe we get into like dispelling some myths surrounding DSP and just overall empower anybody that is on the fence about it, either way, about it leading into this, what I think is going to be an unprecedented Q4.
Sure.
To preface this a little bit, You're the co-founder of AdAdvance, a digital ad agency specializing in Amazon advertising. So you're very familiar with the sponsored product side of things, and you're an expert in DSP, and we'll get into what that is in a second. I want to kick this off with when did your path intersect with advertising, period, and why is it your passion?
Yeah. So I actually started as a seller on Amazon. So I didn't get started just in advertising. So in 2014, I started as a seller. And so I was listening to different podcasts at the time and heard about this thing of selling on Amazon. Ended up developing my own private label brand. And from there, I was growing that up. And I was looking to reach out to different agencies to manage my PPC for me. And as I was reaching out to different people, like I'm an engineer by background. And so I built a lot of different tools to manage my advertising. And as I was reaching out to different agencies, found that what I was doing was actually a lot more complex and strategic in different aspects than the people that I was talking to. So that's kind of how I got my start into advertising, is realizing that, you know, what I'm doing is kind of unique. Maybe I can help other sellers with that. And that was back in 2017. Since that point, we've really focused on sponsored ads, but then lately DSP has become a huge focus for us too, which is under the Amazon advertising wing. And so happy to dig into that and kind of go through, you know, what is DSP? Well, who does it make sense for? And, you know, when you should really start looking at implementing it.
Thanks for sharing that. So you started as a seller and you go to hire an agency, which is what most sellers do because they're so focused on everything else in their business, and PPC is normally not one of these things, or I'd say almost never now, that you should just set it and forget it.
For sure.
And then you vet these agencies, find one that's really good, and realize you're doing a lot of things that they're not even doing.
Yep.
You attribute that to, you know, I don't know. I mean this in the best way, like maybe the nerdiness of engineering backgrounds and stuff.
Oh, for
like
sure.
That.
Yep. Yep. That, definitely the nerdiness of the engineering background. So yep, it's the engineering mentality where it's just like, you have to build out tools, or if I'm going to do something and I had to repeat it, like, yep, let's let software do it. And so, yeah, we've developed our own in-house software and everything else that goes along with that. But then also realize that advertising, it's an art and a science. And so I see a lot of people trying to over-automate or do too much in software. And really, it's the balance of the two is where you can really see great results from your advertising.
That's well said. I'm doing my best to not chase that right there. And I think I'm going to bring you back to the show because that is a thing that I think is harmful. There's a lot of PPC agencies popping up that are just, it's really just, I'm plugging you into some automation tool and it's set it and forget it. And that's not going to end well.
For
so,
sure.
Right. So like, I'm going to table that, but I want to acknowledge it, that that's amazing. And that's like a 2-hour topic in and of itself. It is. Like, yeah. So, and I feel like it's super debated right now. So that we're definitely going to circle back on that, but DSP, just plain English. What is it? And we're going to go deeper than this, but what is it? Who is it best suited for? Or maybe who is it best not suited for?
Sure. Yeah. So we'll start and we'll differentiate between sponsored ads and DSP, because I think a lot of sellers on Amazon are familiar with sponsored ads. So for sponsored ads, you have three different brands or different flavors of sponsored ads. You have your sponsored products, sponsored brands, and sponsored display. And all these advertisements, almost all of them show up directly on Amazon. You have sponsored display, which can show off of Amazon. And really what you typically do is you use keyword or product targeting to get your ads to show up on Amazon. They typically look like your standard product listing. There's been different customizations and pieces that we can do with some of the different ad types. If we look at DSP, now DSP is really a way for us to utilize Amazon's data to build up more complex audiences. And so really trying to distill it down, you can show ads both on and off of Amazon, but you can build up these audiences that have a lot more insights. So for instance, like I could find people who have visited a certain detail page, a product listing that I have, and haven't purchased within the last 365 days. Or I could build an audience over people who have visited my competitors' detail pages, but haven't purchased my product or my competitors. And then I can also stack other information that Amazon also has, like demographic information. If I sell local products or want to target specific areas, I can put in zip codes. And so really what it allows us to do is, one, get a much more defined audience in who we're going to target with our ads. And then we have a lot more control on where we can show these advertisements. We can show them on Amazon, but we can also show them off of Amazon. Like if you're browsing, say like weather.com, and you've seen that banner ad that shows up on the side and it looks like a product detail page that you just viewed, that's probably going to be a DSP ad. So at a very high level, it's another way to really draw sales back to your Amazon channel. Or in some instances, you can actually use DSP to build these audiences, but then send people back to your website too. So it's kind of an equivalent to like a Google Ads, but you get to use Amazon's data and Amazon's unique ad placements overall.
So people are accustomed to Amazon will ban you if you take people off your platform. So can you share a little bit more about that? So how are you using Amazon's data and how does it look sending it to your website?
Sure. Yep. So the big stipulation there to send people to your website is that you can't be selling the product or related products on Amazon itself. So for instance, if you're a car dealership, like Amazon doesn't sell cars yet. And so you could develop an audience where you find people who just say bought older Ram truck parts. And you're a Ram dealership. Now you have this audience that you know is probably in the market for a newer truck sooner or later. And then you could drive them to your dealership offsite. So the big thing with DSP, if you're selling on Amazon, you're going to need to drive people back to Amazon using DSP. But if you sell a product, like for instance, like insurance, for those pieces where Amazon doesn't typically sell in their marketplace, then you can drive them off of Amazon. And so it gives you really good targeting. There's been a lot of privacy updates and different things like that that are impacting other platforms like Facebook. Amazon isn't seeing the same impact. So it gives you another way to really find these targeted audiences that could be really interested in your product or your service.
Do you feel, I love the example you gave there about somebody buying an auto part, and that probably means that they're going to be soon in the market for a car, and you used insurance next. Do you have another example there on how that would, you know, what action could somebody take on the Amazon platform that somebody running DSP at some insurance agency would say, look, we want to target this person?
Sure. Like another piece is like people who sell courses. So I could find people who have bought certain books and I know that they're probably interested in this topic. I can build up that audience. And now if I sell a course, courses aren't sold on Amazon itself. And so what I can do is I can drive them to my landing page now with these highly targeted audiences that I know are interested in my topic. And then, yeah, you've got a great audience there that has already, you know, is going to be very interested.
So I'm familiar with DSP and everything, but you just blew my mind with that. Like I feel like I was thinking 2D when sure. It came to DSP until you said that. Like that really blew me away. That's really genius. What does the platform look like? Like where would somebody go to open up an account and get started and view all this magical data?
Yeah. So, you know, we'll bust some of the myths. So that was one of the myths that we just busted, is that you have to sell on Amazon to use DSP. So that is not the case. If you do sell on Amazon, it's a great external channel or another channel to drive sales and really build up that branding. So another myth is, or I guess a struggle that we have, is that to advertise on DSP, there's a couple different options. One is to go directly through Amazon, but typically you need to commit like $20,000 to $50,000 in spend. And a lot of people aren't willing to do that because you don't know what the returns are going to look like. I would also caution you against going directly through Amazon. They're incentivized to spend money and they spend money very well. But in terms of like structuring, like a solid campaign funnel structure and everything, we've seen mixed results, we'll say. The other option is to go through like an agency like us, or there's many other agencies out there that we can combine all of our spend together and we can get you started at a much lower rate. DSP is not typically a self-service platform unless you're more of like a power user for it. And so that's one of the difficulties, like unlike sponsored ads where you can just go into the advertising console and get started right away, DSP does have a bit more of a barrier. But with that barrier means that there's less competition on the platform and we've been seeing really good results for it. So really two options: go through Amazon itself and commit a large amount of money. Typically, I wouldn't recommend that, or find an agency that supports it.
I love how kind you were with, I don't suggest you have Amazon run your ads. And I keep everything super positive on the show, but that must have been really hard to do because it's almost an open joke in the industry about Amazon running your ads. It's just,
well, it's
there's not a lot of success stories. How about that?
There isn't. And it gets a bad name because of it. You know, I've heard so many people, like I'm talking about DSP and they're like, oh, I tried DSP and I wasted so much money and got horrible results. And it's like, okay, who'd you go through? And they say Amazon. And so, you know, they're shooting themselves in the foot when they're doing this and not structuring it right, because they're getting all this bad word of mouth and everything too. If you structure it right, though, we're seeing awesome results comparing sponsored ads to DSP. We're seeing better returns on the DSP front. And I think a lot of that is just due to the lower competition and then just how granular you can get with who you're going to target.
You mentioned that if somebody worked with Amazon, they're probably looking at, you know, their buy-in is maybe 20 to 50K a month. Is that month to month, or is Amazon sort of pushing you into like a minimum amount of months contract as well? Also, you mentioned that you can get people in cheaper. I know it's case by case. Could you give what cheaper is?
Yeah. And so for Amazon itself, it's usually like, it's a one-time commitment, but then they'll try to get you to spend in more. So the 20 to 50 grand, that's kind of what you put in up front. And then hopefully they keep you going if they see good results. For us, we'll start sellers at, you know, a couple thousand dollars a month. So we charge a fixed rate, and then there's the percent of spend that goes along with that. With that fixed rate that we charge, it means that we can get you going a lot cheaper earlier on, so you can test the waters. And the reason that we do that is we're really confident in what we can deliver with DSP, and we're able to scale up accounts pretty quickly. Like as a seller myself, I don't want to come in and commit a huge amount of money until I see what the results look like. You know, any of the other ad platforms, I'd do the same thing. I'd set up my initial ads and then scale up once I'm seeing the results. And so that's the approach we take too. Let's see those initial results. Let's build out that bottom of the funnel structure. Let's get that going. And then we're confident that you'll scale it up over time because you're seeing a great return from your advertising.
That's sort of confidence. And like when someone commits a lower dollar amount with ads, it's usually harder to get that like amazing data faster. That's been my experience.
Sure.
So you're really taking a risk there to, you know, investing a lot of your labor and resources into showing some wins to this client. Like that's admirable. But what's your approach then towards just anybody walking up to you with, I don't know, a bedazzled garlic press and says, I want to run DSP? Like what's your criteria when someone comes to you? They only want to spend a few thousand dollars. Like, what are you looking for to see if it's a good fit and if you can show results?
Sure. At the end of the day, we have to show a good financial return on what we're doing. And so we're going through and we're looking at the products too. And we're analyzing sponsored ad spend if you are a seller on Amazon. And we have to see a minimum amount there, and we have to see solid converted products. Kind of the equivalent for like if we were running Google ads for you and sending you to a landing page that just doesn't convert, we could have the best advertising strategy in the world. But if that landing page isn't going to work as it should, we're not going to see good advertising results as a whole. And so it's the same equivalent on Amazon where we're looking at the products. We're looking at what you're doing on the sponsored ad side. Like typically, if you're spending anywhere from like 10 to 20 grand a month on the sponsored ad side, then DSP starts making sense for you. So even though we'll get started really small, we're looking at like longer term, is this going to make sense for them to scale up? If it's not, we're not going to take you on because you're not going to be happy anyways. So we try to be really transparent on the front end, if this makes sense for you or not, because if it doesn't, it's not going to make sense for us either to get you going. There's, like you said, there's a lot of time and effort that goes into this. So we try to be pretty selective with who we take on and get going. But then once we find those right people who we know has promise and potential, we're more than happy to get started small because we know we'll be able to scale up over time.
Sweet. And we're going to call myth number two then that you have to start with 20 to 50K.
Yeah. Yep. So you definitely don't.
Okay. You definitely don't need to spend that much. Let me take a step back to something else you said a second ago, and then we'll keep going into this. And you mentioned that with DSP, you could target people. I think you even said zip code, but definitely by city or state.
Yep.
Can you give some examples as to what that would look like for a client and who are the type of people that would really benefit from that?
Sure. And so for instance, say you're selling grocery and the same day grocery delivery is only available in certain locations. Well, now we can use DSP to target those specific locations versus other people who, if they click through on the ad, isn't going to convert right away. Another way that you can use it is like, I'm located in Northern Minnesota. So a little different than the weather in Southern Florida. And so what you can do is take into account seasonality too. And I can target certain zip codes that I know are getting colder or staying warmer. Say if I'm selling like pool accessories, you know, targeting Northern Minnesota at this time of the year is not going to be a good idea. But focusing on the Southern locations can be a great idea. So those are different instances too, where you can focus on certain zip codes, or you can even get more granular where like I can focus on certain events, or I can change up my creatives to like, you know, reference like local sports teams or different things like that that are going on in certain cities to even like add more like personality to these advertisements, because you have a lot of control on the creative side too. So there's many different ways that you can use it. And with that control, that's why DSP is a lot of fun, is there's just so much creativity that's involved. There's a lot of numbers stuff that feeds my like engineering side. But there's a lot of creativity that you can really apply to.
Seems like almost like geofencing. Is that correct? I mean, I was talking with Tom, a friend of mine, and I think we were in traffic and conversion, and there's the Padres stadium is like right there. Sure. So he had this idea. He's a baseball geek, and he was mentioning, you know, it'd be great to target this baseball product idea I had and be able to target the people at the San Diego Padres game during this massive game. Is that what you're talking about?
Sure. Probably not as specific like at the game itself, but you could target people like around the stadium itself who are going to be very familiar with the Padres and the team and, you know, specifics for the team itself. You could time out certain orders to run at certain times. And so you can get really specific overall. So those items are definitely potential. Usually we go a bit broader though when we're using DSP.
Costs of DSP. We talked about like how much it is to get in, but if we were to stack this up, you know, a business only has so much ad budget to spend. And
sure,
if we have Facebook, Google, Amazon, like all this stuff, I'm gonna say Amazon sponsored products, and now we're trying to carve out something for DSP. Do you find you're able to convert more affordably using DSP than say Google or Facebook?
Yeah, right now we are. And I think there's a couple aspects that come into play here. Like one is just the level of targeting that you can get on Amazon. Like for instance, if we compare to Google, Google's trying to take search results and then correlate them to specific, like say buying behaviors or shopping behaviors. Facebook is even a little bit more disconnected, where they're trying to track all this information to then be able to group you into different audiences that may be interested in X, Y, or Z. Whereas with Amazon, we have the actual consumer shopping information. And so we just get right to the source, and you can get finely tuned audiences on people who are interested in it or would be interested in your products. And so I feel like that's one piece. And then two is, I think there's just so many myths or misconceptions with DSP. Like people just think it's for Amazon sellers. People are turned off just by initial results, just like what we talked about. And so due to that, with competition seems to be a lot lower, but DSP is definitely growing and catching on. And we've been seeing a huge shift towards that. And if you look in terms of like advertising returns, so like our ROAS or our ACOS, like how much sales do you get per your advertising spend? We're seeing much better results right now with DSP than sponsored ads for Amazon sellers. And again, I think the key reason is that it's just, there's a lot of different roadblocks to get into DSP. So now for those who can, you can definitely take advantage of it.
I guess there's some similarities there between, you know, old headline ads and display ads only being accessible via Vendor Central. So you had that Vendor Central roadblock from being able to access those ad types. But then once they made it available on Seller Central, say those headline ads or sponsored brand ads, it still took a long time for people accustomed to running sponsored products to adopt that sponsored brand headline ad. So that's similar to what you're saying, if I'm understanding correctly, since there's so many more barriers to begin with DSP, and it's not this self-service dashboard, that there's just much less competition.
For sure. Yep. And I think you hit it right on there. And we're seeing that on the sponsored ad side too, that anytime a new feature is rolled out, if we can get on it right away, and since we have our own software in-house, we can do that. We always see less competition. Our results are great from the start, whether it's, you know, sponsor products placement adjustments that are being added, or sponsor display product targeting features, or different sponsor brand customizations that you can do. Any of these new ads, it takes a while for the market to catch up on their true potential. We're seeing the same thing for DSP, but it's just that opportunity is staying out there longer just because there are all these misconceptions and barriers to get into the program.
Well, one of the targeting options that you mentioned in the beginning, and I don't know if you're equating these to say flavors or like flavors similar to the sponsored side, is that somebody, you know, checked out your product detail page, but they haven't purchased the product in X amount of time.
Sure.
how are you, or are you able to differentiate and say, well, maybe the person bought it somewhere else, and then running this person an ad, not somewhere else, but somewhere else on Amazon.
Sure.
How are you distinguishing between that?
Yeah. So what you can do is you can define, you layer these different audiences. And so you could say, all right, this person has visited my detail page within the last 30 days. So they all get grouped in. But then you can say, but make sure that they haven't purchased my product or my competitor's product or this other product or this other product. And so you can get very specific to filter these down. So that's like a good retargeting audience. Like some other fun ones are like, say if you have a consumable product where people come back and they're repeat purchasing, what you can do is say, all right, if this this person purchased 30 days ago and they haven't repurchased within X amount of time, now show them an ad. Usually say they use up the bottle of whatever it is within 30 days. If they haven't repurchased within 35 to 40 days, let's show them an ad and kind of remind them to come back. You can do the same thing with cross purchases if you have a really strong brand presence where, all right, they purchased my running shirt. Now I'm going to show them my running shorts and my running shoes. And even like targeting different competitors. So say they looked at my competitor's spot, say they're looking for pool equipment. They looked at my competitor's product detail page, but they didn't purchase and I sell pool equipment. I can now run ads for my product to try to drive them over to my side and increase my market share. So there's a lot of different ways that you can customize it overall. And that's where the beauty and the power of Amazon's audiences really comes into play.
You just like perfectly set me up for like these two other questions that I really want to ask you regarding this. And one of them, you mentioned consumables. One of them has to do with, are there better product types that fare better on DSP than others that you've seen?
Sure. I would say if you're a really low price product and say if you're a one-time purchase, DSP is probably not going to be the best option for you. I would stick with the really low funnel strategies like sponsored products on the sponsored ad side. So really you want to find those typically like higher price products, say anywhere like $25 plus, or those products that have a high lifetime value. So they come in and purchase like a consumable product and they either end up repeat purchasing that product or they continue to purchase more from your brand as a whole. So those products with a really strong brand presence and a high lifetime value, once you get that initial purchase, those do really well on Amazon, just because you can invest on that front end to get them familiar with their brand and then keep running ads so they purchase and then keep coming back. That familiarity, it takes some time to build up, but once you get that, now you've just gained some new customers that may have never heard about your brand or your products before without Amazon DSP.
I absolutely love that. You said something else, and I'm going to try to be, I guess, fair or unbiased in this, sure. Since I'm a big, you know, niche down, build a brand person as a seller on Amazon, and that's what I recommend on the services side as well to clients. But there is this growing popularity in the private label world as Amazon sellers, and maybe that existed when you started selling as well, and that's more like inch wide, mile deep, I don't care, just random products, shower curtains, adult novelties, garlic press, it doesn't matter. Sure. If I see some opportunity on Jungle Scout, I'm going for it, like that sort of thing. Am I understanding that with DSP, it's actually beneficial to have a brand that has a rhyme and reason across their products because you can cross promote?
For sure. Yep, definitely agree. And as Amazon gets more and more competitive, I think exactly what you talked about becomes more and more critical. Now it's not just finding those products that somebody else can copy and come in and do the exact same thing that you're doing. It's like, if we're looking at Amazon long-term, it's a marathon, it's not a sprint. And so you may find some of these like really niche products scattered throughout that you can do well on now, but somebody else is going to find that too. And they're going to come in and eat away at that margin over time. Amazon fees keep going up, shipping costs keep going up, advertising costs keep going up. And so to really differentiate ourselves long-term, it's building up that brand and that lifetime value of your customer coming in. And to do that, you need to invest in a strong brand. And you're going to want to use tools like these to keep setting yourself apart, because if you don't, your competitors are. And so building up that brand, in my opinion, is critical for your long-term success on Amazon.
I love that we're on the same page on that. Joe, what other questions? Remember, we're talking about the basics, but like what other questions or about getting started with DSP do you wish maybe that I would have asked, or you wish all sellers sort of had to know before they began with DSP, or any myths that you feel like should be dispelled and we haven't covered?
Yeah. So I think some cool aspects too, just to touch on like where these ads can be seen. So there's the typical ads that you see, say on like weather.com or your favorite news site that look more like Amazon listings. But there's many other ones that you probably don't realize are coming from Amazon DSP. As Amazon builds out their ecosystem, like they've purchased Twitch, which is a game streaming platform. They're currently in talks with the NFL on acquiring more rights for NFL football. So you ask yourself, well, why would Amazon want to do that? Like, one is it makes their Prime membership more valuable, but two, they're gaining really valuable ad space. And so how are they going to show these ads? Well, it's through Amazon DSP. So just picture, as a seller on Amazon, you could be watching Thursday night football and your ad could be shown to a highly targeted audience that's watching Thursday night football on Amazon Prime. Fire Stick, IMDb TV is another instance. Like Amazon keeps, they just bought MGM Studios. And so you ask yourself why? Well, Prime membership and then more ad placements. And so it's not just display ads. It's also video ads, and they're building out more and more spots to be able to show these and continuing to expand it. DSP is a major profit driver for Amazon. Advertising is a major profit driver for Amazon. And so all these different acquisitions that are taking place really feed into that. And it's going to continue to get bigger and expand really what we can do with the platform or where your ads can be shown.
I love that. And I mean, there's Alexa, smart TVs that we're looking at. You might just see something in the game and say, yeah, add that to my cart.
Yep. There's the new Amazon TV that they just launched. Fire Stick. There's so many opportunities there. They're continually building out this ecosystem. And until I got into DSP, I didn't really understand the reasoning for it. And now I'm seeing that all tie together. It's really integrating with this ad platform and then just expanding the value of overall Prime memberships.
Do you think we're at a spot already, or do you think we get there to where if you have a brand, just running sponsored products is not enough?
I think we're there. And I will say for certain products, there's going to be certain products where it's never going to make sense to run DSP for, some of those lower price products or those ones where you don't have that solid brand. But I would say on the sponsored ad side, it's becoming pretty standard. It's just becoming this necessary thing that you have to do. It's almost a necessary fee that Amazon sellers need to pay at this point to make sure that you're organically ranked and you're maintaining where you're at. And so now if you're trying to look at what's the next thing that you could be doing, it's driving external traffic through platforms like DSP. That's the way to keep up that sales momentum and velocity. That's the way to help increase your organic rank. If you look at what your competitors are doing, anything that you can be doing outside of that is going to set yourself apart. Right now, I think sponsored ads, you need a really solid foundation there. And we see a lot of people who are running it, but they don't have it structured really well. But once you have that solid foundation, I would say that's just a requirement at this point. And then all these other pieces are ways that you can really utilize to set yourself apart.
Can you clarify? I think you said strong brand. I said lower priced items, or especially products that don't have a strong brand or a real brand. I forget which word you use there, but can you clarify what you mean by that? Like what would mean like a stronger real brand, and then maybe add in what percentage of their ad budget should they look at dedicating to, since we're at a place where this is something you must do,
sure,
that they should look at, you know, putting just for DSP.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of strong brand, really what I'm referring to is that once I drive people to buy a product from my brand, they're probably coming back, or they're much more likely to buy other products. And so kind of what we were going to before, it's making sure that you have related products, that you have strong brand presence overall. Like say for instance, on sponsored brands, we've seen that you actually convert better driving people to your storefront versus the actual product detail page. And so having that solid branding with interrelated products where you can really speak to like more of the lifestyle aspects versus just the product details, it's really hard to compete on features on Amazon. But if you can hit that emotional pieces on Amazon, that's what really sets yourself apart like longer term. In terms of like allocation for spend or focus, typically what we see when people start integrating DSP into their seller platform is that on the sponsored ad side, say you're running $10,000 to $20,000, we'll allocate about 10 to 20% to DSP. But then based off of the advertising returns we're seeing in terms of ROAS or ACOS, then we'll shift that spend to where it's working the best. We're shifting more and more to DSP just because we're seeing a solid return, but that doesn't mean we're shutting off the foundation of sponsored ads. We may just be putting more and more effort there. But I would say rule of thumb, take 10 to 20% of your sponsored ad spend. It's a good way to start.
Awesome. Joe, you crushed it. I want to be respectful of your time. I feel like every time I ask a question, you answer it. I have three other questions I want to ask. So I have no doubt that you'll definitely be coming back to the show. Two things before we start wrapping up here. One is what's the best way somebody can reach you to really like jumpstart DSP for them, or maybe even to talk to you about, you know, bolstering their sponsored product ads?
Yeah. I would say you could definitely connect with me, Joe Schellerud, on like LinkedIn or Facebook. You could go to our website at adadvance.com. We've also got a podcast called The Ad Project where we dig into these topics in a lot more detail. So any of those channels are great ways to get in contact.
I'll definitely have your name and a link to your LinkedIn profile in the show notes, but you said your podcast name was The Ad Project?
Yep, that's correct.
That's good. And you build the podcast just completely around ads, DSP, and sponsored products?
Yep. So we primarily focus, we do some pretty deep dives on sponsored ads and DSP. And then along with that, have some guest interviews too, primarily focusing on advertising.
I'm going to jump over and subscribe myself. The only other podcast I knew of that was 100% dedicated to ads was Ad Badger. I don't know if you're a fan of that one.
Great podcast.
Absolutely. The last question, I let you off the hook and we can get back to our day. This episode, by the way, comes out on Monday. What is your favorite book and why?
Yeah, this was fun too. So I'm an Audible book junkie. Like I'm not the person to sit down and read, but I listen to books constantly. And so I looked and my Audible profile is up to 199 books. So I'm going to have to do like a really think about that 200th book that I'm going for. One that I keep going back to is called The Compound Effect by Darren Hardy. And really simple premise, but what it is that each day as you get going, if you can develop these small little habits that somewhat improve your day over time, they're really going to make significant impacts. And so I always keep this in mind as I'm starting up something new, like, you know, a new social media platform or a different way to market ourselves or optimize ads. Like, you know, you may not see the results right away, but over time, things just keep compounding. And if you can set yourself up with these small good habits on a daily basis, they really add up over time.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal book. It's I think it's in my top 10 books I've read. I've read it. I've listened to it. I actually prefer the Audible version of it. Two other complimentary books for me on that one is The Slight Edge. I forget the author's name.
Okay.
And Atomic Habits. I don't know if you've read.
Atomic Habits. Yeah. I'll check out The Slight Edge though.
They seem to work like really, really well together. So Joe, you were amazing. Sincerely, I already look forward to having you back on the show. I have no doubt this is going to be an amazing episode when it releases on Monday. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Carlos.
It was fun sharing this episode with you. If you found value in what you've heard, please show your love with a subscribe, rate, and review of the show. Until next time.